I saw him walking by every single day. Monday through Friday around noon, he walked by alone and he always peered in. He always looked inside this gym that I own at the current moment. And he always had that face of like, what is going on in there? And finally, eventually, briskly, I said, hey, come on in to work out. You want to work out? And that started a tremendous, amazing, soft and genuine relationship. You see, Eddie just got out of prison. He was in prison for 27 years. You see, this man, put into perspective, this man didn't even know what a Frappuccino was from Starbucks. He barely has even got a glimpse of a Walmart. And here he is. I can tell by his voice, his tone, that this was gonna be a cool relationship. We started working out, we started high-fiving each other. Now you see, he was about 55 years old, so he was crushing in the gym, he was pumped to be there. But little did I know that it became home. Me and him built a relationship and eventually I invited him to church. You see, Eddie was 27 years physically locked down in chains and in prison behind bars for 27 years. And I was gonna figure out if he was in chains and locked down in barriers and behind bars spiritually. I wanted him to be free in both aspects. So I invited him to church and it changed his whole life. You see, the resurrection changes everything. It changed everything in my life. The people that I'm surrounding myself with changed their entire life. And about a month later, I got to baptize him. And I've never seen a grown man cry so much. You see, he went from having no friends in the free world, as you will, to having a group of community and Christians. And he was set free spiritually. His life was set free from the identity of being in prison, a convict, a felon, to a new creation in Christ and Jesus. And he was carried forth into this life step by step with the Holy Spirit, a friend, a comforter, and a guidance. And we're the same, you and I. Some of us don't let the resurrection of Jesus change everything. We're shackled spiritually by addiction, sin, darkness, relationships, what the world says we should do, the identity that we hold on to, that we got from the world, from our parents, from what people have said. We are shackled and we're enslaved and we're in sin spiritually. And today I just want us to go into the resurrection, Easter weekend. And little side note, this is Collective Church's first Easter gathering, Easter message. And if you told me about 10 years ago, when I didn't know Jesus, you know, back in my glory days or my horrible BC before Jesus days, I would have laughed in your face if you told me I was gonna do an Easter message for the church that we started, and it's gonna be our first one. So can we get an amen for that? And I just have a question for us as we dive in to this beautiful resurrection story of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And it's simply, what's stopping you from the resurrection changing everything? What's stopping you today at this very moment to becoming a full follower of Jesus, full of life, full of passion, full of purpose, full of identity, full of love and actual joy, that people ask you, why are you so happy? Why do you have so much hope? And why aren't you so downcast when things hit the fan? What's stopping you from the resurrection for changing everything? And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to go right into John chapter 20. This is just the day of Jesus's resurrection. This is the day of, put you right into that glimpse of that 2,000 years ago. John chapter 20, it says this. The subtitle is The Empty Tomb. Verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, which was John, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. I have to always stop at that phrase because, you know, I'm in the sports world, the fitness world, and if someone outruns another person, you got to give them a little beef. You got to, you know, give them a little ha, I beat you. But this race to the tomb that changed everything in the biggest human history event just changed everything. I wonder if they still talk about that in heaven. Like, hey, I beat you to the empty tomb that changed everything. Verse 5, he bent over and looked in the strips of linen laying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen laying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still laying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. This is my opinion. This might not be right. But since he ran so fast to the tomb, I think he was feeling a little lightheaded, a little queasy. He couldn't go in yet because he just didn't know where he was. So let this be a lesson. Just don't run that fast. He saw and believed. They did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back where they were staying. Now for the two disciples that ran to the tomb, first Mary Magdalene came with the news. The stone has been removed, and they took off running, knowing that it could change everything. Now this is Mary's story here. Verse 11, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. Just a pause button. Could you imagine being so distraught, so worrisome, so filled with emotion, tears flooded your eyes, that you turn and see someone, but you can't even recognize them? The emotion that Mary Magdalene was going through, because she was there from the beginning. Some say that she was the first disciple. She got healed from 7 demons, and she never left Jesus' side. She was one. She was crying. It was her teacher. It was her Rabboni. It was everything that she embraced as a Savior, because he healed her. He saved her. And it's just a moment of, I think, some of us can really relate to. You hear the word Jesus and you know life transformation. You know that you were one way, you were one way, and now you're a different, whole new creation, whole new perspective, whole new life, and the only thing happened in between was Jesus. Jesus' words. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him." I'm sorry, this is awesome. "And I will get him." You see, Mary had a moment of desperation. No matter where Jesus was, she was gonna go get him. No matter what it took, no matter where he was, Mary was gonna stop everything and go get her Savior. And then Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." This moment of beautiful emotion that Mary, once she heard her name, because there's no other human on earth that's going to call you by your name like the God of the universe will. The way Jesus says your name in your devotional life, your prayer life, your one-on-one time, there's no one on earth is going to say your name like that. And she just recognized the tone, the beauty, the calmness of Jesus saying, "Mary." And she went up and hugged him, and he says, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not ascended to the Father." And then verse 18, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he has said these things to her. Now see, for the first two disciples, running to the tomb changed everything. For Mary, she was still sticking around crying, "Where did Jesus go?" Jesus showed himself to her, and it changed everything. This brings up back you and I. Some of us are waiting for that next breakthrough, our next chapter in life, that next pit stop, the next achievement, the next relationship. If I can only get this much money, if I can only get this career, if I can only fall in love romantically and get married and have kids, that will be my breakthrough. We're waiting for a breakthrough. And it's not an unhealthy thing to want things in life. But let me remind you on this Easter Sunday that we've already had our breakthrough. The resurrection of Jesus that changed everything has been the monumental breakthrough that we all needed. Makes you be able to take a deep breath. Life gets messy, but the security in Jesus resurrecting for you and I, defeating sin and death for you and I, so that we can have perfect, right standing communion with our Father. If we keep our eyes in heaven, fixed on Jesus, surrounding each other with love, urging each other on, scripture reading, praying for each other. Life's hard, but the glimpse of Jesus and the security that comes is one I want to remind you with. So we all have to stick together in this, you and I. I know something that happened 2,000 years ago might be hard to believe sometimes. A resurrection of a human, of God, resurrecting from the dead. It's a miracle. So the question is, do you believe a miracle? Do you believe that your life can be changed? Everything about your life can be changed. So what's holding you back from the resurrection changing everything? Just like my friend Eddie, he was liberated, set free from physical bars, confinement, chains. What's holding you back? Is it sin? Is it addiction? Is it depression, anxiety? Everything can be set free and made right if you surrender yourself to Jesus. And if you haven't, if you've never surrendered yourself to Jesus, taking on the security, taking on the sacrifice of knowing that you're going to heaven, being certain. See, when I baptized Eddie, he just wanted to be certain. He wanted to be made right. The sacrifice that Jesus did for him, he wanted to grasp. He wanted to hold on tight. He wanted to be gripped by his new identity. He hated the identity of prison. He hated the identity of being a felon. But now he's made new. Now let me remind you something that happened 2021 years ago. Don't be naive, loved ones. Something changed the calendar from BC to AD. We're in the year 2021. Something happened. Jesus happened. BC, before Christ, AD, Anno Domini, the day of our Lord, something happened. It's the resurrection, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ to die for our sins to give us life. We're the same. Jesus is everything, and he can be everything. It can change the whole world. It can change your whole world. Everything in it, the way you see people, the way you see love, the way you see everything about life, the colors, the birds, the views, the ocean sounds, the lakes, the streams, everything becomes more vibrant. You can finally see the world and yourself the way God sees it. And I want you to know that God today. If you've never surrendered yourself to Jesus today, I'm going to give you an opportunity. It has to be a personal response. It has to be urgent right now because you don't know when you're going to die. Transforms your life. Transformed everything about my life. It went from this, drug addicted, porn addicted, alcohol addicted, lost, broken, hit rock bottom man, to all of a sudden set free in Jesus. And the only thing that happened in between was saying yes to God and yes to His Son. The Bible says, for this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I want your life transformed. I want your perspective shifted. I want you to start over. I want a reset button for you and your heart and your life, your marriage, your friends, your family. Everything around you in your life is going to change for the better. And I want that for you. So if that's you today, I want to just lead you through a simple prayer. And if you made this decision, I want you to be bold. I want you to type, "I said that prayer," in the chat. And I want you to send this to someone. If you've already known Jesus today, I want you to send this to someone. So be bold and repeat this prayer after me. Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I recognize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I accept the invitation to call you Lord today and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Loved ones, starting today, let the resurrection of Jesus change everything. And a point of application, write this date down right now. 4/4/2021 is the day that's gonna change everything. Don't forget this date, write it down, make it your background on your phone. You've made a decision right now to say yes to Jesus and to say yes to change. I love you guys. Talk to you soon.